It's so good to be with you. You all have nurtured me, shaped me, taught me, encouraged me, and allowed me the space to grow and change and live into ways God has called me to be. There's no way to say everything that's on my heart today. But my goal and my last message to you is to write a love letter to North Valley, to call out ways that you all have shaped me. I can only hope that I have given you all a smidge of what you've given to me. I realized this morning that I've spent nearly half my life in pastoral ministry among you. And what an honor it's been. 23 years. I'm turning 50 this year, so it's almost half. Also, I'm getting old. What? I started volunteering in youth ministry at the age of 15, and during that time I got to know Sean McConaughey through camp and Bible quizzing. And at that time, I was a part of Eugene Friends Church for 5 years, and they nurtured me and loved me so well. They became that extended family that I desperately needed. When Sean learned that I was going to George Fox College, because it was college then, not university. Again, see how old I am. I was the first graduating class from George Fox University in 1996. Like, who cares? Me. I care. Anyway, when Sean learned I was coming, he invited me to volunteer at North Valley. So in 1993, I started my freshman year and started volunteering with youth programming here at North Valley. I can still remember the pew that I was sitting in during open worship and sharing that North Valley felt like home. It was really hard for me to leave Eugene Friends because they loved me so well, and I didn't think there could be another group of people that would also love me. And lo and behold, there was. My first husband, Don, and I worshiped here at North Valley. We dedicated Maggie here, and you all helped me raise her. When Don and I divorced in 2001, you all surrounded me with your love and your friendship. You became a safe haven for me to process and heal from the shame and guilt I felt. Colin Saxton hired me as a middle school youth pastor in 2002. It's so weird that it's like you, then me, then all this weirdness, and then me, then you. Pretty sure you're older than me. I'm also not sure what you saw, Colin, because all I thought I brought to the table was a calling to enter youth ministry and a deep care and concern to connect with youth. I felt very unqualified to be a pastor. A year after that, I became the high school youth pastor as well. And there were times it was difficult to single parent and minister. I depended on Shirley Kite to play with Maggie in the nursery while I worked Sunday mornings. The Conant girls became regular babysitters for Maggie. And when my housemate Gloria died in a car accident, you all helped me pay my mortgage for 6 months. And you again became a safe place to bring my grief and pain. I never felt like I had to shield it. And that is a gift. Because I'll tell you, in pastor school, they tell you you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to enter in. And you all have proved them wrong. When Nathan and I married in 2005, We committed ourselves to each other right here on this space. You celebrated us, showered us with love and gifts, and supported us as we figured out how to be a blended family of five, and then of six. We dedicated Henry right here too. All during this time, you encouraged me in ministry as I journeyed alongside our youth with my trusty volunteer, Al Krakenberg. I love him so much. We hung out with high schoolers and studied Revelations and Leviticus and other faith communities and learned from Jesus together. Amy Watson soon joined our leadership crew, and we laughed and ate and learned together. Years into ministry, Lynn mentored me and coached me to give my first sermon here at this pulpit. With sweaty palms and gastrointestinal issues, I preached for the first time. You're welcome. That went on for years. I love it when people say, "You look so comfortable up there." In 2009, Lynn challenged me to take a course at George Fox Seminary, and I thought she was crazy. I was definitely not the seminary type. I did not like to argue over what Greek or Hebrew says or doesn't say, but on her strong encouragement, I took a class. And I remember saying to God, it wasn't really a conversation, I was saying to God, I was telling God, "Look, I need seminary to be good for me personally, professionally, and for my family." And within the first week, I felt like God affirmed. I felt affirmed by God in each of those areas. I could go to seminary and learn about pastoral ministry or Old Testament or New Testament church history and incorporate it in the ministry life right away. I found seminary to be empowering to me personally and spiritually, affirming my God-given gifts, and encouraging me to lean more into the kind of pastor that God was creating me to be. I kept comparing myself to other pastors and how they do it, how they give messages, or how they spend their time, or what they look like, and I wasn't matching up. But seminary helped me live into my skin more, to be the pastoral pastor that I was, to be the pastor who cares deeply about creation and who wants to work towards justice with others. Again, North Valley helped both financially to cover tuition costs and giving me flexibility to attend classes. We had a hooding ceremony right here on this platform in 2014 when I graduated with my MDiv. It took 5 years. We were in it together. While serving as the youth pastor here for 12 years, it was never my intention to become the lead pastor. I did not see youth ministry as a stepping stone, nor did I appreciate it when people would ask me when I was going to be a real pastor. Somehow indicating that youth ministry was a beginner step. I was so honored to be a youth pastor here for so long. The trust, encouragement, and support that you all gave me are gifts I will treasure all my life. It's an honor to have participated in their lives. Your youth taught me as much, if not more, than I taught them. I've maintained so many of these relationships that I've been able to perform many weddings and watch the youth become parents themselves. When Lynn went on sabbatical and I filled in as the temporary lead pastor, I was incredibly surprised at how much I loved serving in this new way. I remember feeling sad when she was returning. Not because I didn't want to see her, but because I wanted her job. See, things I should not say from the front. I remember feeling afraid of these feelings because I cared so deeply for this church and felt inept to fulfill that role. I realized the only way I could lean into it is if I was totally and completely myself. I couldn't watch how other people led and try to emulate them. I needed to listen to the Holy Spirit in me and trust that God is forming me and guiding me. Of course, this meant sometimes that I said ridiculous things from the pulpit, like on a particular Easter morning when I asked the sound person if I'm turned on. I didn't even notice it, but Nate pointed it out. Or Gene Shewhart pointing out that I probably shouldn't say buttload from the pulpit, but maybe boatload. You all allow me, or maybe you didn't choose to, it's just there, but you allowed me to show up with my full self. And I hope that we all know that that is true for each and every one of us. You are invited and welcome to show up with your full self. Whether you're experiencing grief, or doubt, or sadness, or anger, or joy. At least a decade ago, I read something that Anne Lamott wrote, that she said that she wished church was more like an AA meeting, a place where it is expected that you bring all your baggage in, where it is safe to do so, and believing that by being with other people in the same boat, it will be part of the healing process for you and them. That God is present and tangible in the very real, very messy truth of our lives. Unlike church, where sometimes it can feel like you need to pack up the messy and paste on a smile no matter what. This has been part of my vision for us for a long time. I remember standing in this space and giving my lead pastor interview sermon, where I shared what faithfulness meant to me in that season. I shared openly and honestly that I believed my calling was towards an inclusive church, welcoming queer folk into full membership and leadership, where we looked at ways our property could serve needs in our community, to be acquainted with our city government, to possibly build houses here in our community as we had done in San Luis, Mexico for decades. I gave that sermon and completely expected all of you to say, "Thank you, Leslie, but no thank you." I was completely shocked when you approved my pastoral call. That same night that my call was approved was the night that Northwest Yearly Meeting announced the split of the yearly meeting. And that next year was one of the hardest that I've ever experienced in my life. I thought I understood what it looked like to be a lead pastor because I had filled in for Lynn. But navigating the yearly meeting split and the raw conversations we needed to have here were incredibly scary, and I felt very inept to be in this new position. Reflecting back now, I realize that during that process, I never felt alone. I sensed God's presence with me and with us, and was reminded over and over again by all of you that we were in it together. That we would listen to the present teacher, that is Jesus, and respond in faithfulness. In March of 2020, I can remember deciding with Nate Macy and the elders that we should not gather for in-person worship for a week or two while sickness was spreading in our community and our world. Little did we know that we wouldn't gather in this space for 18 months for gathered worship. 18 months. We moved to a Zoom model of worship, and the pastoral team got real creative with worship and community building. The pandemic raised questions about the role of church and gathering together. How could we be the church if we couldn't even hang out? Rather than a performative model of church, we all met on Zoom and encouraged each other to unmute, to share with one another, to reach out through the screen. We had drive-through community events and mailed seeds to grow at home and anything else that we could think of to provide connection. I've said for quite a while that you can have the title of pastor, but it kind of doesn't matter, because each person or family determines whether you are their pastor or not. It's a permission that folks give to you to be one of their people and journey alongside. I have been given the distinct honor and privilege to journey with so many in their lives. Faith struggles, sitting in the sacred space with folks while they pass from this life. I visited new babies and officiated countless weddings and held space during memorials. I've had the consistent joy of preparing for Sunday morning worship, learning and working through all the joys of technology and Zoom and soundboards, and whether or not the video sound will work or not during worship, like it didn't last week. When I look back at life for the last 30 years, it's impossible to do so without all of you. I feel as though I am a tapestry of your love and guidance woven into the very fabric of my being. And it wasn't until I started writing this message that I realized how many important life events for me happen right here on this platform. I have worked with some of the very best people: Colin Sexton, Stan Thornburg, Paul Bach, Lynn Holt, Andy Henry, Sarah Clad Dickerson, Jen Delzell, Shauna Gordon, Rochelle Staley, Sammy Sanders, Steph St. Cyr, Kim Boyd, Brianna Oliver, Beth Collison, Gina Ankeny, Kelsey Waybright, Larry Hampton, and Nate Macy. And if I left someone off, I'm really sorry. I have worked with the two most incredible office managers, Aaron Hampton and Lisa McConaughey. I have appreciated deeply working alongside both of them very much. We shared work, but also laughter and tears and life together. I have witnessed each of them in their pastoral gifts in that role, and it's been an honor to work with both of them. I want to say thank you to my family, who have been a part of this journey alongside me, whether they chose it or not. Maggie, who graciously allowed me to volunteer at almost every camp she attended, even though she was traumatized by seeing a pie thrown in her mother's face when she was 7 years old. I'm grateful that she shared her mama with so many people. I've been able to watch some of Henry's gifts emerge here at church, volunteering with the children's program and seeing the ways he meets every kid where they're at, sitting with the quiet ones, playing chase on the playground with the not-so-quiet ones. For both Maggie and Henry, I missed many soccer games and evening events, but they never held it against me. Nathan, I can still remember having the conversation while we were dating about the potential of you and I marrying, and in particular, you marrying a pastor and what that would mean for our life together. And it still amazes me that you were game. North Valley, you are a gracious people. Arguably sometimes too gracious, but we're not going to get to the flip side of that coin. You allow and create space for folks to bring their gifts, even when those gifts are not fully honed. It's a nurturing space to learn and to grow. I found love and freedom to try new things, to fail, to learn from those failures and try something different. Again, I can only pray that I've been able to give you all a portion of what you've given to me. I would hope that North Valley continues to see the important role that we play in the community to be a refuge. for those experiencing houselessness, for immigrants, for LGBTQ, for recovering evangelicals, for seekers and doubters and wanderers. The church, first Eugene Friends and now North Valley, has loved me when I believed I was unlovable. The church has saved me time and time again. When I have felt lost, you all have recentered me. When I've gotten off course, it's you all that point me back to Jesus. I want all people to have that same opportunity. Because the church loved me and saved me, I believe that God loved me and could redeem me. And I think about how many people in the world need a church like North Valley. I wonder what it would look like to lean in more and more into being a bigger place of refuge for folks with spiritual trauma, for folks looking to believe that they're lovable, for folks wanting a community to live life with. Thank you for being you, for shaping me, for pointing me towards Jesus, and for your love. So let's listen to Jesus together.